This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. A little over 2 years ago, employees and readers of the Rocky Mountain News learned the newspaper was closing. John Temple was the editor and publisher at the time.
February 26, 2009 was a devastating day at the Rocky Mountain News, and I think for many in Colorado. To hear the news that the next day's edition would be the paper's last was a real punch to the gut and very, very difficult for everybody to take.
Well, Temple was curious to know what happened to his staff. Did they stay in journalism? Did they go on to make good money? So he recently sent a survey to former newsroom employees, and many of them responded. I asked him if there were any surprises.
Well, it really was the number of people who are making less, and a larger percentage of those are making much less than they were at the Rocky. I mean, nearly 70% of the people are making less.
Yeah, I mean, it was 67% making less money, 57% saying much less money.
That's right. I mean, and much less is really much less. I mean, you're talking 25, 30% of what they used to make, 40%, lucky if they're at 50%. So you're talking about people who are really experiencing serious economic challenges and changes in their life. However, when you ask them whether their life is better or worse today than it was 2 years ago, in a sense, there's no marked decline in the quality of life. Some people said it was worse, but actually more people said it was much better than said it was much worse. Should be recognized that some people didn't respond. Only 75% of the people who worked at the newspaper responded. So it's possible that those who didn't, you know, are having a tougher time of it. But actually, it seems like money and satisfaction in life are not fully tied together and that people are making their way. So those were among the surprises to me.
You found that 63% of these folks stayed in journalism. So just over half.
Yeah.
Was that a surprise?
I think that was a good sign that that many were able to stay in journalism, because you've got to consider the times where, when people were thrust onto the streets in Denver, it was a very difficult time, particularly for newspapers, but also for other mediums. And so I thought that was very good. And one way, it's a credit to the Denver Post, because the Denver Post did pick up some talented Rocky Mountain News people, and they continue to work in Denver. But I thought that was a pretty high number, actually, that had been able to stay working in journalism. And, of course, many of them needed to move. About 30% of those needed to move to be able to continue to work as journalists. And it hadn't been easy for them to do so.
What was the biggest transformation? You know, someone who went from journalism to something totally different.
Well, I mean, I thought a couple were really interesting. The biggest transformation might have been the photographer who became a restaurant manager, basically worked his way up and became the manager of a restaurant. And interestingly, after I published the survey, the photographer told me that he's now going back to journalism because it really is his love and that's what he wants to do. Another was a photo editor who is working doing construction of luxury homes on the Eastern Plains and is becoming a firefighter in his mid-40s. So that seemed to be a pretty dramatic switch.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and the former publisher and editor of the Rocky Mountain News, the paper that's now closed in Denver, John Temple is with us. He sent a survey out to former Rocky News employees to figure out what they were doing, whether they stayed in journalism, if they were making less or more money. Let's for a moment talk about age, John. There was a comment someone included in their survey that I'd like to have you read from.
I'd be happy to. So this is what the former Rocky journalist wrote. This might seem venal, but as one enters fully into middle age, you realize that you have fewer and fewer earning years before you. As hard as this recession is on young people trying to launch careers, it may be even tougher on older workers who are seeing what ought to be some of their prime earning years of their lives frittered away. That was from Hank Schultz, a former presentation editor at the Rocky, who's now working actually in specialty magazine publishing and is very happy doing it. But it reflected a concern that many of the older members of the staff said that it had been a setback at a time when they should be at their peak earning years and was a serious concern for them. And, of course, many of them had responsibilities either for children in college or concerns about aging parents.
Now, I'll do this delicately, John, but you lost your job at the Rocky at the age of 50, what, 50?
I think I was 55.
55. Did you have these kinds of concerns too?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a difficult thing because the certainty in your life, the comfort of your rhythms and the expectations that you may have an income that you can rely on and that you can predict go out the window. And that does raise concerns for anybody.
You did stay in journalism.
I did.
But a new form of it, really.
Well, I decided when the paper closed that I was not at the Rocky to just be at the Rocky. I was at the Rocky because I was a journalist, and that was the work I wanted to do. So I made a conscious decision to stay within the profession. I did a number of things, but today I'm the editor of Honolulu Civil Beat, which is a online startup in Honolulu, serving Hawaii and Honolulu in particular. We only focus on local news. And I feel like I'm very much at the root of my profession in the 21st century, where we're part of inventing what journalism might look like in this new era. And so the work I'm doing is very fundamental. I'm much more hands-on today than I was at the Rocky running a larger organization. And very happy to be able to work as a journalist and to continue to contribute in this way.
Part of the trouble that newspapers ran into is that they really didn't find a viable funding model for their online content. And this has been a big area of experimentation too, you know, paywalls, passwords, mm-hmm. and things. Civil Beat, which you've told us about there in Hawaii, do you charge readers? Have you found a sustainable model that big newspapers have been grappling with?
Well, we're working to find a sustainable model, and Civil Beat is founded by Piero Midyar, who was the creator of eBay. So it combines people with strong technical and business background with a journalism background, myself. We're a membership subscription-based operation, and we came out of the box at a rate that some people might think high, but really is comparable to a daily newspaper subscription, which was $20 a month. And we're gradually building the business, and we believe that, I mean, that's the problem we're working on, but we're not burdened with some of the cost legacies of the existing newspaper industry or other traditional media. It's a teaching experience for me. I'm learning a lot by starting from a clean slate, because you ask yourself, what is essential? How do you build value for people? Going beyond, oh, I love the Rocky, or I've always read the Rocky, or I've always read the New York Times. It's what is it at the core? How do we build a new name and a new identity that people will value enough to support and help us become a viable business?
Isn't that a painful transformation, though? I mean, to have done something a particular way for decades and then to kind of throw it all out the window and reinvent it.
Definitely. There's no question that it's very difficult, and we may have, you know, what's called a sacrifice generation. You know, with immigration, oftentimes the first generation sacrifices to make it possible for the second generation. And in some ways, I see my role or what I'm able to contribute is that because I've been able to work with people with high values and a real understanding of the importance of journalism, maybe I can help convey that and imbue new organizations with some of that background, but let them be much more adventurous and free in a new era. So there's no question that it's painful, and that's one of the reasons I did the survey, is to see, you know, how does that pain get enacted or not in real life.
Do you foresee a regular Rocky reunion?
Well, I don't know. You see, I live in Honolulu, so you know, and I really...
Right, you could host it. That's the point.
I could, yeah, that would be fun, actually. My guess is that those occur and that they will occur in the future. You know, one thing about the past is I think it's good to let go of it and to see people moving on in life. I mean, partly here was to see how far people had been able to move away from the disaster. I mean, you know, sort of swim away from the sinking ship, right? I don't want to live in the past or live in the, you know, rocky reunions. In a way, we have reunions on Facebook and people stay in touch with each other. But the thing I hope for most is that the people at the paper, you know, find a future and that they contribute and that they feel they're able to live, you know, satisfying and fulfilled lives and that they're happy. And because that was definitely a very, you know, sad and dark day for a couple hundred people.
Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Ryan.
John Temple is the former editor and publisher of the former Rocky Mountain News. He's now the editor of Honolulu Civil Beat.